Welcome to the metaphysical hour. See, don't mess me up here, okay? We're all making goofy faces and dancing and really fun. Yeah,
we were celebrating before the celebration.
Exactly. What is in this drink? No.
I've been asking her that for a very long time.
Yes, she has. What is in that? Welcome to the metaphysical hour. I'm Julia Cannon. This is my co-host, Tracy Mahan.
Hello, everyone.
And our very special guest, QHHT Level 3 practitioner.
The pause was just the anticipation.
Put the drink down, Julia.
Yaron DeWitt, and you're in Los Angeles. We're in the Los Angeles area.
Yes.
So you're in, well, you both are on the West Coast. I'm over here in the middle. And anyway, so welcome, Yaron.
Thank you so much.
I'm completely discombobulated. I was saying that beforehand. Normally, I have a normal time that I do this in, and this has really got me messed up. But it's
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. No. Huh, it's wonderful. It's just I'm just going to make that my excuse. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank
you. Your umbrella.
Thank you for having me. When I signed on, it seemed like I rolled into a party. You know, Tracy and Julia were both dancing, so I just joined in.
Absolutely.
Great energy here.
Why not?
I hold back. Yeah. Yeah. Yay. You know, if we have learned nothing else with all this quarantine, it's live. Go live. However you need to do it, even if it's just dancing in your chair. So.
Yes. Absolutely. And we've been doing a lot of dancing in our chairs now, not standing in the chairs. And well, maybe that too.
We haven't really much figured out what's in Julia's drink yet. Maybe dancing in the chair like that. Yeah.
Well, and I'm trying to think, were we doing much dancing in the classes that you were in, Yaron?
No. This is a long time ago. No, there were small classes, and the curriculum was quite different at the time. Yeah.
Quite different. Like, you've seen how they run now, probably. You've seen some of the things.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah, like the way they've been developing, it's really amazing. The class that I was in 2006, it was Dolores and you, and then her friend Lori, I seem to remember. There was a woman called Lori there. And this was in The Hague. And it was like 12 of us, the level one.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was 3 days. 3 days or 4 days?
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about, her friend. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been, the level one was 3 days then. Mm-hmm. And it was, we just teach you everything. She does a demonstration. And then we say, okay, go have fun. Go practice.
Do it. Yes.
And we've looked back on that, you know, since we kept, you know, we started extending it. It's like, you know, they need to practice. That'd be good, you know, because a lot of people were not even wanting to try that first one. They were so afraid to start. And so it's like, okay, we need to create that space. And then we need to have follow-up. And then so it kept getting longer and longer. But I've wondered since then, you know, it's like, how on earth practitioners that were doing the class when you were doing it, how, you know, I mean, you made it in spite of us. You know, you were just so for it. You were just doing it. And so, fantastic.
Thank you. When I did a level two in 2009 here in Burbank, I approached Dolores and I asked her, I reminded her, like, hey, you know, I was in your The Hague class. She goes, oh my God, with those loud Dutch people. They were so loud. I was worried that nobody was going to get anything out of it. But yeah, I remember, I tell people this all the time, that this was the very first class that I was ever in, whatever course or education I've ever done, where I was really focused. Like, I wasn't just in there to get a grade or to get ahead. This was really, I was super focused. So I felt like I was sort of like locked on target, you know, poured on me. This is my thing. Yeah.
And it worked.
And it worked. Yes.
Well, if we can go back then, Yaron, and talk a little bit about your life. Tell us about your life. Go back as far as you can remember.
Sit back, pour another drink.
Yeah, some more of whatever that is. I'm having coffee.
Yeah, so how did you get into this wacky world? I mean, let's go back. I mean, because, you know, most people, they have a journey. And I love to hear people's journeys of how they get here. And, you know, and it might, you know, I mean, did it always involve metaphysics? Or was it, were you, like, when you were born, with mandalas and I don't know, all these different
not quite like that, but I've always been wacky. So, okay. You know, when I spotted wacky around me, I just clung onto it and ran with it. So, I mean, for as long
I like this story already.
So for as long as I can remember, I was always looking for the unseen worlds. I'd never been told about it, but I was always kind of, I've always known in a way. Yeah. And so, you know, I was raised in a bit of religion and then just the culture I'm from. It just never showed me anything that showed me any proof of that. It was just all about the physical world. The people that I was around were kind of cerebral and rational. This is the culture I'm from, the Netherlands. And so there wasn't anything there, but I still felt like there had to be something else. So whenever we would go for a walk in the forest, I would look in the little hollows of trees and see if there was any little chairs and tables for the fairies and the gnomes that they have left behind.
Aww.
So I read a lot of science fiction and fairy tales and fantasy. That was my sort of my escape. And it kind of connected me with that knowing and that feeling of expansion that I held in myself. My mom was a librarian, and for some reason, she brought home a book about out-of-body experiences from the Monroe Institute, and this is when I was 8 years old, and so I had read the whole science fiction section of the library already, so I just snatched it off her nightstand and started reading, and it blew my mind, because it was the very first time that there was proof outside of myself of these other dimensions. It spoke about, you know, leaving your body and traveling different astral planes and encountering beings and other people. And I knew this to be true. It was like, this is my world. I know this to be true. So that happened. And then life continued just the same. Let's see. So, you know, I've always been on the fringes of society, kind of. I didn't quite belong because of, you know, I noticed very early on that I was gay and that my sense of my own gender didn't fit in with the limited binary that was in the world. Uh-huh. So I've always kind of looked at society from the outside in. Like, those are the people that, those people are normal. They know how to do life. I'm on the outside and
I'm not normal,
wacky, weird. And I didn't feel too good about myself. You know, I didn't. It didn't give me a lot of confidence being raised in this, for me, limited world. So, because I felt so different and I hadn't been taught to nurture that or value that. But anyway, so I just went on with life. And then in my mid-20s, I think it was, I had my, what I call now my spiritual awakening. And it's a fancy word for a really gnarly experience. I did the Landmark Forum and to sort of, you know, to up level in life, because I was confused about what I wanted and I just wanted to have more focus. And I'd always felt like I was in a bubble, like I could never connect to people. I felt too insecure and I wasn't really aware of it, but I wanted to expand. And so I took the Landmark Forum.
Won't it?
Well, yes, in a big way. So when I got out of it, everybody else was jubilant and I just felt like I was shattered into 1,000 pieces, like the rug was pulled from underneath me. And so, you know, I thought I was going crazy. It was not a good experience at all, you know, and they didn't have the tools to deal with people that would go through this. So what I learned later is that my circuitry came online, that I had been checked out in life until that time, and that at that time I had chosen to incarnate more fully. My energy seals were broken or came online, and I started feeling with the capacity that I'm able to feel with for the very first time. I'm not making this too long, by the way. Is this too detailed?
No. Okay. Oh, I love this because so many people will relate to this.
Okay, good. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Please keep sharing. It's beautiful.
Yes.
So, and I didn't know what the hell was happening to me at the time. I just knew I felt very, very bad, very scared. And, you know, this goes for a lot of people that, you know, they don't know they're in a spiritual awakening, but the first experience they have is horror and feeling horrible, or something has happened. There's been a big loss. And so what do? You try to feel better and you reach out for different ways of help. And this is your way into your life's path, I think. You know, this is what I see in myself and my clients. So I somehow knew that I wasn't going to go into traditional psychiatry to get help with my horrible feelings. And I, through a dance teacher, I was in dance school at the time, I found this holistic healer, and he diagnosed me as my energy being whacked out of my body due to the intensity of feelings that I experienced. So I was hanging on by the seventh chakra. And so he gave me homeopathic, like little pellets, and it brought me back into my body, like a level of me.
That kind of grounded you back in. And
yeah. And I thought, great, I'm all fixed now. This was just a fluke thing. You know, let's get on with life. But it didn't quite go that way, because I noticed that whenever I would engage with other people, I would interact with them, and there was some kind of conflict or some insecurity would come up, that I would lift up my energy again. I would leave the body. I could not sustain myself in this world, being present with my feelings. So I started, I found bioenergetics. It's a body-oriented way of therapy where you learn to express through the body instead of through the mind. So it's not about reasoning things and analyzing, but more, you know, kind of like what the higher self does. Like, it's more of an innate experience. And that allowed me to first start feeling my feelings and learn to express them in relationship with other people. And then I found Reiki. And during Reiki, the master that I worked with, she would hold these Reiki workshops where we would work on each other. And this is the first time that I was confronted with somebody going into a past life as an experience of healing. You know, I saw very personalized different healing journeys of people, and I thought these to be extremely beautiful because they were so customized and so perfect for what their soul or spirit was going through at the time. So my initial need to feel better for myself, kind of what added us to it, was that I thought this healing work was really beautiful. Like, I became focused on it, and this is what I wanted to do because of my own experience of empowerment through this journey, but also seeing other people go through it. So this is where I first, the very first past life that I witnessed somebody going into was a woman who went into a life as an Egyptian, like, magician or sorcerer who was working with, this is a long time ago, he was creating magic from draining people's bodies of their physical, like their fluids. He would do something with it, and you know, as he died, felt very horrible what he'd done, and couldn't move on into the light, judged himself. And so we worked with releasing self-judgment. Anyway, it could be another story, but it was just a very beautiful experience of healing. And I saw the expansion happening in this woman that we worked on. So this was back in the early 2000s. And then I learned more energy healing modalities. I got a BA in art therapy. And then, so I was on the path of healing myself and noticing that this is what I wanted to do in my life. This is because of the healing experiences I was having myself, I became understanding of this healing journey for other people as well. And I noticed that I started gaining wisdom or the capacity to hold space for other people to do so, to help them with it as well. And so I was at a healing practice somewhere in Amsterdam, and there were a stack of books, and I looked at this one book that was very white with this blue-grayish alien head on it. And I was like, what is that? You know, like, more wacky stuff for me. So picked it up, and it was
my
called
brother.
Yes. Picked it up, and it was Custodians by Dolores Cannon. I was like, Custodians, what an odd title. What is this about? So I opened it up and then started reading the preface where she explained she's a hypnotherapist. And I was like, what the is this? This is amazing. You know, this lady exists. This is real. I mean, this is not fiction. This is great. And so again, it was another moment for me where I connected with this knowing that I knew to be, that I knew, but that wasn't seen anywhere in the world so far for me. But this book held so much information that I knew to be true. It just resonated so strongly. So devoured the whole book, cover to cover, and ordered some more. And then I like, who is this lady? Where is she? I want to learn what she does. I just felt such a strong connection. And so went on the website, which was like a little dinky little, like, I don't know, website at the time.
This is the second time that's come up, Julia. The website.
But this is way back, you know?
Yeah, right. It was way back in the beginning.
Yeah.
We're much better now, but it still has much improvement needed.
It's improved tremendously. This is really great.
It's easy to navigate. I will say that there's sometimes you go on websites and it's like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Yours is easy to navigate, but it's funny because the early birds both say they were both. And then that website. So congratulations for getting where you are today, Julie.
So I just had some, the garden just came on his day off, I'm supposing, but there's some noise with the leaf blower. Is it very,
you're fine.
Is it okay? Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So where was I? So I went on the website and found out that she happened to be teaching in The Hague in the Netherlands, which was where I was living. I was living in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, within 3 months. So, you know, signed up for the class and took myself to The Hague and met you, Julia, and Dolores, and Lori then, and these other people from all over Europe. There were people from France and from Norway, some Dutch people as well, of course. And like I said, had a wonderful time in this class. I couldn't believe how lucky I was to be learning with the great Dolores. And, you know, at the time, she wasn't a household name like she is now. But I just thought this was just amazing. And I was just really struck by, for me, the contrast between the way she appeared. She looked like, to me, she looked like a Midwestern American lady, like almost like a church lady with a little perm, you know. So sweet. And then she would open her mouth and aliens and healing and galaxies and different dimensions. Like, are you for real? You know, so wonderful. Yeah. And I remember asking her to show me her ring, like in one of her books, I think it was Custodians with the Star, when she worked with another client that had the same ring. So I was like, oh my God, this is the ring. This is crazy. So I learned her technique. And as we touched on, it was the 3 days and here you go and go do it. You know, I didn't have the trepidations. I was like, great, I can do it now. I want to do it all. So friends were coming in, had great sessions. I think lots of us are blessed with like very interesting sessions in the early days because to keep us going. So I had these great, you know, otherworldly sessions where I could feel energy coming in and, you know, was working right away. So I was tuned onto this path. I loved it. So I just started doing sessions sporadically as clients would show up. And then I moved to the States in 2007. And gradually more and more people started finding me, more people found out about Dolores. And then I did level 2 in 2009 here in Burbank.
Isn't it funny how we keep coming to you?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Are you wrong?
I hadn't realized that. Wow. Yeah. Yay me. Yeah.
And your level 3 was in Burbank.
It was in Burbank. That's right.
Huh.
Right.
They haven't made you work very hard for this. I can see it now.
It just goes, I think I'm ready, and we appear.
Yeah. Next level, please. Okay.
Yeah, it was quite wonderful. To me, it was a quite easy ride. Like, I was apparently supported in doing this because, yeah, it just came to me, like you said. So, did level 2 in 2009. And at the time, I was still working another job. I was a spa manager for quite a long time. And, you know, it was just a coasting type of job, just a survival job. And, you know, I wanted to do this work full time, didn't believe that I could, you know, sustain a practice by myself. And then in 2014, I had this client that we spoke about 6 years ago, maybe in the Metaphysical Hour, who came in and she came in with this wonderful story. I'll just touch on it briefly, where her kids started telling her that he used to be a tall German baseball player in his previous life. And that she used to be his mom, and she found out that he was Lou Gehrig, the baseball player. Her mind was blown because she was a Christian, didn't know about past lives, finally found my practice, and we did sessions, went into this life where she was Christina Gehrig, Lou Gehrig's mom. And she was a great subject, had lots of detailed experiences of this past life, and came back 2 more times, goes into the same lifetime, explore different periods of it. And I'm asking my higher self, like, why go back to the same life? Because as you know, oftentimes in one session, you leapfrog into different lifetimes, but this was going back to the same lifetime in different sessions. So it told us that she was to mine that lifetime for lots of little details that could be verified, but still living descendants and relatives of the Garrick family, and that she was to do this and then write a book about it because it would access a whole new demographic of people that normally wouldn't have been, you know, interested in regression stories. And so she did, you know, she went to the East Coast, to Coopertown, and I don't know how she introduced this material to these people. You know, I'm this blonde lady from California. I just had a regression. Can we check some facts? So, but she did, and everything matched that she dug up. She even spoke some German in the session. And so it all matched. And so she wrote a book about her whole experience. And it was really about the love for her kid, you know, having to stretch her mind into this new material for her as well, because the love for her kid and wanting to honor his experience and describing her experience of stretching her mind into this and the amazingness of discovering this lifetime and that it was really true. So that happened, and she did write a book about it. She was very diligent in researching and writing. She won the Hay House writing contest, and the book was published in 2017, I think. 17, yeah.
Wow.
And it came out, yeah. Mm-hmm. By that time, I had done level 3 in Burbank, you know, right next door. and so then clients started coming in. And it was just really beautiful to look back at this because my journey with QHHT has correlated with my own healing journey. Because as I learned to take a stand for myself, my uniqueness and my authenticity, and have more self-love and start trusting my own inner knowing over social constructs or whatever voices of the world, I became more and more attuned to my mission here on the planet. And so QHHT could be coming through me as a tool to help other people, do the same thing. And so that happened. I took level 3 in 2016. I think my certification came in 2017, right when the book came out. And then I think I'd already set fuck off to my job. I Ubered or Lyfted for 3 weeks to supplement my income, and then I was able to do this work full time. And it's just been an amazing journey. Not just in, the content of the sessions that we have, but also to see people heal from all kinds of ailments, and then also for myself to, you know, my journey continued in getting more clarity about myself, both through, sometimes my clients volunteering information or just learning how I am with people when I'm in their interview, doing the interview or in their sessions. And then also just being so, do this work as part of my spiritual practice and having to up my spiritual practice for myself to acknowledge all these different facets of myself that I'm bringing in to this session, to this work.
Fantastic revelation there. I mean, just, I love how you're showing that it's a direct correlation. And it takes a while for some people to realize that. it's all about you. Your business grows at the same pace you grow.
I've really seen that, and I see that in my clients as well. The more we love ourselves, the more that we open up to our mission in life. You know, people ask about life purpose all the time. It's the first question at the top of their list. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us relate to this concept as if there is a sort of a magic job description that's written in a book, like up in the Akashic Records or wherever in the library. And we just have to find the magical trail to it so we can read it, and then we know it now, and we can just do it, you know. From my perspective, it's still going to be a journey. You know, you might know your true north, where you're headed, but the journey is the important part of it. This is when you learn to love yourself. Yeah.
So I'm just going to say, Yaron has some yard work going on in the background. We're all just going to be patient with that. The chat room is really wild right now. Everybody's telling us where they're from. We've got France, and we've got Florida. We've got, let me see if I can find them all. There's, everyone's just posting in the chat room. where they're from. And so I'm just loving that. Keep doing that, you guys. It's fun to see where everybody's coming from. You've got, for an unannounced live program, you've got a pretty good audience, your own. So,
oh my God.
So we're all just going to have a little patience with the gardener. There's some things we just can't.
Well, I thought it was interesting. It got louder when you were talking about, I'm going to go back and listen to exactly what point that was, because I noticed it got louder. And I think it had to do with, you were talking about your growth and your, mm-hmm. So it's like all of these things correlate. And they can be a hindrance if we allow them to, but let's see, it's not.
Yeah.
I can hear you both okay.
Yeah, we hear you okay too. We can hear the gardener in the background, but it's you know, it fades into the background, right?
Okay, yeah. You get more focused as you listen to it.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. This is very, very
good. It's a very good experience. So, oh my goodness. But yeah, I'm really excited about this audience just keeps climbing, and it's great. So keep talking, Yaron.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of at the end, like I was kind of at the here and now of it. Yeah.
Oh, no.
The Dynamite Jerry.
I was going to ask you, something came in. It was talking about the mirrors, and I think this is there's something, somebody needs this, or somebody, I mean, because this is wonderful information for practitioners, but anybody, you know, anybody on a spiritual journey is getting this. It doesn't have to just relate to QHHT. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, QHHT is just part of your journey, you know, and it was just like, and it builds as you build and as you grow and become stronger. What I'm feeling the need to discuss mirrors right now. So I want to start with talking about as clients, but then I guess it can wind around and we can talk about mirrors in general and about how, you know, what they do for us in our growth, in our life and everything. So what I'm talking about is when people come in and act as mirrors to us and they're reflecting our own junk or our own things that we need to work on back at us. So have you seen that happening much in your sessions?
Oh yes. Well, I don't think I'd be in this work if I wasn't able to see that. But yeah, that happens over and over again. Sometimes very specifically, like, you know, maybe an issue that I'm dealing with particularly that week, and then somebody or two or three people come in, you know, with the same issue.
Two, three, four, and you're like, ah,
yes. Yes.
Hey.
So yeah, there's always paying attention with that focus as well, like, what is this telling me about myself? Mm-hmm. And also when you're in, you know, you have so many different kinds of people coming in, so what are your feelings telling you about yourself, or do you feel expanded or contracted, when, you know, like, to be mindful of that. But yeah, in general, the journey, what I see over and over and over again is that it is all about self-love, that we are here on the planet, you know, including myself, I'm talking about my own journey and about others, to love the unique expression of source that we all are. So, yeah. You know, we're all very, very unique and very different, and we're here to express this difference. But that's not what we're raised with. You know, we're raised with the beliefs that we need to belong or fit in or do as we're told and all that stuff. And so the journey for myself has been about, and with my clients, of course, as well, to learn to love all these parts of ourselves that we've had to orphan off or to shut down or to put in the closet. And when we do that, we regain a sense of worthiness. Our magic has a chance to come in, because now we're present with our own experience instead of listening outside of ourselves. So that's been my journey, and it's ongoing. Yeah.
It's, that's, you know, beautiful. That's just a very beautiful way of saying that.
Yeah, this is okay. Thank you.
Very well spoken. Okay. Somebody wants more information.
Okay.
Go. I'm understanding how this works, how we bring people into our lives to be mirrors. So.
How we bring people into our lives? Are you asking me?
Yeah. If you want to expand on that, because somebody is needing that. So I'm feeling it. Somebody wants more information.
Okay. So my understanding is that our life is a continuous journey of projections. So projections of parts of ourselves that we have yet to embrace or to love. So all the events that happen in our external perceptual field or in our external reality and the way that we relate to them, you know, they are reflections of our own relationship with ourselves. So what does that mean? So that means that when, you know, an asshole shows up in our perceptual field, maybe in traffic or in our relationship, you know, there's something going on and there's this emotional upset happening inside of us. You know, this is our curriculum being triggered. This is not, they're putting this feeling inside of us. This is our own curriculum being triggered for us to deal with. So when that trigger is resolved, and the triggers are usually about self-judgment. So the triggers, the self-judgments that we've absorbed as a result of being raised in this world, you know, as a spiritual being, this limited bandwidth of experience that we encounter when we're on this physical plane on planet Earth. And so when we have loved that part that is pricking up its little head of like, hey, I'm here, listen to me. When we've loved that part into wholeness, then the triggers won't have to be there anymore. And instead, the vibrational resonance of our self-love shows up outside of ourselves. So this to me is the law of attraction. So it's not so much about thinking and praying and affirmations, but it's also about loving yourself and to really embrace all the aspects of ourselves. So we become a clear channel, not a fractured one, to channel source, God, creator, universe, whatever word you have for that, onto the planet, and you will have more access to your manifesting power because you're doing it as you've understood God because you've understood yourself. Yeah. And so when you resolve those triggers, like I've experienced this myself, I used to judge myself for not feeling like the image of masculinity that was around me when I was growing up. You know, I was around little boys in my little village. They would play with little wooden swords and toy guns and cowboys and Indians and all that stuff. That wasn't for me. Whenever I tried to do that, I felt like I was doing drag. It felt horrible. And so I played with little girls. I learned how to play hopscotch. I learned how to say to sew little quilted sleeping bags for my stuffed animals. Loved it, but because there was nobody there that was like me or my parents understood what I was going through, I judged myself so harshly. And so for a long time in my life, I was either called sissy and fag, or I was like slapped in the face, or I was very fearful of being in situations that would, where this rejection could happen, like in locker room situations in school and PE, or even into my 40s with the straight husbands of my girlfriends. You know, when I was let alone with them, I would sort of clench up and make myself small and not want to be seen, not wanting to be found out as the one that's flawed or different, not like them, because I would feel my own rejection of myself. So when I released that, when I understood that I'm here to express God as me, just as you are here to express God as you. And in doing so, I was okay with my gender. There's no label for it. I'm fine with that. I don't have to conform anymore. And so as a result of it now, I no longer have people show up in my perceptual field to remind me where I'm not loving myself with this aspect. So I don't have these people calling me sissy and fag anymore, or abusing me or whatever. And instead I only have people in my field that match the self-love with that in that aspect. So this is how I've come to understand for myself, and then also in the lives of my clients, of course, how I think life works. This is what I know. You know, I don't know the truth of everything, but this part I know for myself. Yeah.
This is like this beautiful segue into this is how you create 5D living.
Exactly. This is, yes. I agree. Yeah. Thank you. Totally. Yeah.
It was beautiful. Well said.
Thank you. Yeah. I think go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I think this is what we're all doing, like us QHSC practitioners, but also other healers, that we help people find their way back into their divinity by learning to love themselves. And as we do so, we open ourselves up to God, to source, and then inspire other people to do so in the same way. And then, you know, the subconscious has corroborated said this many times in session. This is what we do. We we create this network of light workers that in turn inspire other people. And, you know, we raise the frequency of the harmonics of human consciousness on the planet in doing so, both on a very personal, emotional level, but also energetically. This is, you know, 5D happening right there.
It is.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely. And so many times that's what people are waiting for, something to happen. They're waiting for it to become. They're waiting for whatever.
No. And that,
exactly.
No. You're missing the point. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Can you? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you bring this up, because this is, because people lose, they miss the point in this sense. I do have people contacting me sometimes and, when is New Earth going to happen? You know, can I mark it on my calendar for next March 20th? You know, when are we going to shift? When? Because I need to know, because then my life will make sense. No. This is not how it happens. It will happen the more you can be in the here and the now. You know, the more you can love yourself in the here and now. So what does that mean to take care of yourself? To shift your focus back to yourself instead of taking care of other people first and making sure they're okay and that you know, there's so much codependency in our world. This is sort of the mind fuck that we're raised with, that we are only worthy when we're doing, when we're being, when we're for others. You know, we've been conditioned to work for validation, to work for love. And that's the addiction that we've been in. So to pivot that focus back to ourselves and to start saying, well, who am I? What do I want? What brings me joy? When you're in your life purpose, you're in joy. This feels good. Life purpose is not some task that you have to do and that feels horrible. You know, it's joyful to have access to all of yourself and to joyfully, you know, spread all that shine onto the planet. So, you know, not waiting for New Earth to shift and be horrible in your life. Start bringing it back to you. Start with little steps. Like if your life doesn't work out right now, if you start to take an inventory because it's so horrible and you're waiting for this to happen, no. Start finding spaces. Start to listen to what makes you joyful and to start to implement that in your life. Not just knowing that this is what's going to make you feel good, but you actually have to do it. You know, this planetary existence here, the language is the doing of it. This is where we encounter ourselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is also how we build trust with our heart, with our neglected parts. You know, not just saying, okay, I hear you. You find it joyful to be in nature, but I'm going to have to take care of the kids and I'm going to drive to soccer practice. And so that's never going to happen.
Get out of my head.
Yes. You're telling your heart basically like, shut up, you know, you're not valuable to me. So when you start doing that, you start creating joyful experiences for yourself. Your life feels better and you can be in the here and now. And you learn to love yourself. You learn to be in relationship with yourself. And the more you do that, the more you listen for your joys, but also for the feelings that tell you that something's off here, you know, in my relationship or in my job, and maybe I should create some changes here as well. The more that you shift, you self-empower, you create this life that feels good to you, 5D is starting to happen for you.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait for the spaceship to pull up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, you're there. You're creating it for you and in terms for other people. You're anchoring the light on the planet, that is your journey. That is your mission, I think.
And
I
then
think
your mirror is your reflection.
Your joy, exactly. And your life, yes. And I mean, you must have experiences as well when you start paying attention to what makes you feel joyful. You know, your guides, your source goes, finally, he's on mission. Let's throw him this stuff. And then this miraculous stuff comes your way, like this client with the book, you know, and I'm here in Los Angeles. There's all kinds of interviews and movie deals happening all the time. You know, there's interesting stuff that will help you to create the platform that you're meant to have within your community, whatever that looks like, to bring your part of the light onto the planet, you know, through your unique experience and expression. Yeah. So get with it. Don't wait. Do it now. Find joy. You know, for me, it's going into nature, but if you love monster truck driving or pole dancing or whatever you want to do,
do it now,
do it today. You know what? And it's not like the kind of things that have to cost money or that you have to wait for, like I have to work very hard to get on a wonderful cruise. No, you can do stuff that feels good now, whether it is just not working it for a moment and just, you know, Corona thing. Or whether it is going into nature or whether it is playing with your baby, you know, your toddler, or to be in play or to, to cook yourself a beautiful, colorful, tasteful meal or whatever makes your heart sing. This is your navigational marker for yourself.
We're coming into we're in spring now and we're coming into planting. And I was like, May is always a really good month to start planting things. Yeah. And so if you're somebody that loves to get your hands in the dirt and loves to, that's a form of creation when you are working with plants and things, you might love to do that.
Tell people to go follow Yaron on Facebook and I'm guessing probably also, not Twitter, what's the other one? Instagram. And that stuff, because he takes some of the most amazing pictures of nature.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, some of those sunsets or sunrises, and I mean, you just got an eye for it. And I just love coming across it because you capture the colors, and we all know, you know, all that stuff activates us in so many ways. Even just looking at the pictures, if you can't go out there, look at his pictures. It'll take you right there.
Tracy's another camera buff. She's always pictures and always
I admire pictures.
She would appreciate it. That's why she notices it right away.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I do. I enjoy it when you post those pictures. I will just sit there. Like you had one of, I think it was a sunrise coming through the trees.
Yeah.
That was just beautiful. So,
yeah.
Keep doing it.
Going to nature, you know, you must happen. This is the higher self says it all the time for people. You go in nature. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things to do.
I mean, that could be, it's one of the reasons we've slowed down is so people can get back in touch and get off those crazy wheels that everybody's on, just doing things. I've noticed that a lot lately as I drive into town or something, and even though things are opening back up, there still weren't that many cars out or doing anything. It's like people have, you know, they kind of got off of that. Everybody was just on this track of just doing because you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And there was no thought behind it. So I think that's calmed it down so we can think about
what we're doing.
Oh, was that Tracy?
There's guilt to sit still. It's like, oh, I need to go. Oh, I do that at home. I'll sit down and then, I should go change the laundry. I should go load the dishwasher. We should ourselves. And it is. It's society's programming and, you know, learned behaviors coming up of you got to just keep going, going.
I agree. Yeah.
Now through all this, I know that, you know, things have shifted a bit during all of this as far as being able to do. I know California, they're much more stringent about you being able to do any sessions or anything. But I think, have you been able to keep doing group regressions? Because you do that quite a bit.
Yeah, so those have upped quite a bit because all the venues had to close their doors. So they've really been creating online programs. So, yeah, I'm doing those. And, you know, those were fun in person and fun online. Really nice. You know, I was kind of getting used to it in the beginning. But then once you figure out, like, the whole mute all and mute one or, like, all that, you know, to make it work so it's not a cacophony of people talking and use the chat box, it was so much fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
Is anything coming in about what's going on about, I'm trying to figure, cause it's like in sessions, sometimes that will come in, you know, and you can ask questions around all these things that are happening. Cause otherwise we're just getting our own guidance and our own feeling about it and everything. I'm just wondering group regressions, if you're getting anything, because usually it doesn't in that setting, but I just wonder.
No, not in group regressions, but I remember the last few sessions that I did in March, I asked about it, and it was along the same lines that you just said, that this whole thing was it's part of our spiritual awakening, of course, but that it is pressing the pause button because we've been abusing Mother Earth and our own bodies. And this is for us to reconnect with our natural rhythms of our body and to start feeling them, you know, and first to go through the PTSD and the grief of, like, having been in this, you know, a natural state for so long, you know, of having such an externalized doing type orientation to life. And now starting to reconnect with our natural rhythms through our feelings, you know, whether it is feelings of joy, like, yay, I don't have to do anything. Or in the beginning, people were going into panic and fear about this whole corona thing. Mm-hmm. Both ways to reconnect with the feelings, because it leaves us with, like, well, how am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to feel better? Well, I might as well go into nature. I might as well play with my kid or cook a nice meal or access therapy online or whatever it is, but just start tending to our insides instead of just being focused on our outside. This is what came up in the last few that I did before the whole lockdown happened. Yeah.
I've had a lot of people start doing meditations that weren't meditating before, and self-care like that.
Yeah. So. Well, it's like, you know, because you're definitely, I mean, unless you live in a house like Tracy's, you know, we have a lot of other people there. I mean, you are kind of people and dogs.
Yeah.
A lot of people can be by there. It's more solitude time. I mean, there might be one other person or one or, you know, something like that. But even if it is, there are quite a few people, I would imagine you're still more, it's shifted how you are spending that time there. You know, in relation to each other, because I remember hearing early on, especially yeah, Tracy, when you were kind of trapped. You were trapped for a little bit. Trapped isn't the right word.
No.
As soon as you got to where you were going in California, you were visiting someone. As soon as you got there, they put the lockdown on.
Yeah, like I got off the airplane and got in her car, and she goes, "Did you see the text?" I said, "What?"
Oh no.
They just announced the quarantine, so I just stayed. I thought, I'll write it out here. And
I thought that was interesting. It's like, you know, it's almost like people were where they were supposed to be, you know, to go through whatever point at that point, you know, to go through their stuff. It was just interesting. I know I'm not saying it right, but it's like, you know, we have, isn't that, somebody said, if you're alone, you're supposed to be alone. If you're with other people, you're supposed to be with other people. It's that kind of a thing. You know, it's like, this is what you had set up for yourself to work through this.
I think you said that very well.
Okay. If I like. So interesting. Okay. So I know you talked about this one client. Any other clients? Because I mean, look at the healing that happened there. I mean, all the beautiful revelations and work that's happening in that person's life, you know, the Lou Gehrig situation and everything. The other thing I was getting when you were talking about that was the contracts that were made on the other side before coming in. It's like, okay, we're going to use this. We're going to do this and come back in together so we can use this to help wake people up. So, yes. I mean, isn't that cool?
So cool. Yeah. 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 I love finding out about that. And especially when people come in with like difficult and horrible experiences and then find out that it was contractual and they see the kind of learning that was coming out of this, you know, as you know, I've had my own horrible experiences in life and now experiencing the healing that came out of that. It is really beautiful in the end. Like it is, you know, on earth, it's got the light and the dark, the good and the bad, the joyful and the difficult. But it's all here to support us as souls, learning what we came here to learn to expand through all of it. You know, how many times have you been with a client that has had, like, I don't know, for some reason, mostly the people that identify or they get identified in their sessions as from the angelic realm, and they come in as a, they might not have done a lot of earth lives, and they fast track it. You know, they come in with the most dysfunctional families, the most horrible, horrible abuse you can even remember. Right. And they come to your session like, what the hell? Like, why am I going through all of this? Yeah. And then the higher self says, we told her, you know, it's going to be a little rough, but she wanted this because she wanted to learn what it's like to be on planet Earth, to be a human being so she could be relatable and she could crack open and help other people to heal from all this stuff. Yeah, so it's all contractual, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And what a revelation, you know, and I mean, when they realize that, oh, I asked for it?
Right.
I planned it?
And it kind of shifts the energy around it, too, you know.
Okay.
Not so personal, and it's
yeah.
Like, oh, I got work here.
Okay. Yeah, on one hand, it's like a victim. The other hand is, oh, I wanted to learn something here.
I'm a volunteer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this can bring acceptance for all these experiences instead of, and taking people out of a victim position where there is not so much progress. You know, if you keep judging yourself, your experience, what's happened, it's difficult to learn from it. But you know, once there's acceptance and there's space open to gain the knowledge and the wisdom that people have been gathering through going through the experience. Yeah, however horrible it is, of course, from the human perspective.
Mm-hmm. And you see that happening a lot in sessions, going from victim to understanding.
Yeah, it's quite wonderful. Like it's, I mean, this work, I mean, as you know, I think it's really amazing. Like it's such a gift to the planet, what your mom, you know, brought us and what you're still continuing. Like it works on so many levels. Like I see, of course, the healing happen in people getting an understanding on a mental level, but then connecting to the higher self and being with the energies of their other dimensional selves or these other beings that they encounter, that in itself shifts and moves things out of the way, heals things. But also sometimes the healing happens in ways that you're not even aware of and you won't find out until after. You know, like I remember having sessions with extremely, like, you know, people that were so analytical that their conscious mind was constantly fighting the whole experience and coming out of it thinking, oh my God, like, did this do anything? And then I remember this one guy who I met a week later, and his whole demeanor had changed. Like, instead of being closed down, he was warm and jovial. And I asked him, you know, the first thing I asked him was like, what's going on with you today? Are you on drugs? Because we're in LA, you know? So, but he said, no, this is what happened after this session. I don't know what happened. Like, I just became more accessible and warm. And you know, neither one of us knew this was going to happen. His higher self didn't have a chance to tell us. It didn't tell us. And this happens all the time where people, after their session, there's additional benefit to it that we might not be aware of, that either their life shifts around in a very profound way, in a positive way, or more stuff starts healing, or their perception changes, like I just try to illustrate. Yeah. It's quite amazing.
And, okay, I'm feeling like, because this is asked all the time from clients and practitioners alike, you know, a lot of clients, they'll call the office and it's like, oh, my session didn't work. You know, it didn't, whatever. It didn't, we didn't get here. It wasn't successful. I mean, we have a lot of practitioners, new practitioners saying that too. It, you know, it just didn't work. Have you had any of that in your mind? Like, and I think that was one of them that you were just talking about. It was like, I don't know what happened here. It didn't, I don't know if it happened. I don't know if it worked. But then later they come back and.
Sure. I mean, it's understandable that people have these expectations. In my perception, healing always happens. Is it always the healing that our conscious mind thinks we need at this moment? You know, so we come in with a little checklist and do this. Like, we're going to tell the higher self, I want this done right now. You're never there for me today in the session. We're going to have the magic communication. Now you do this for me. No. It doesn't always work like that, because it's quite the opposite. In a session, we give the floor to the higher self to let it inform us what has been telling the person all along or trying to tell them. What is the metaphysical backstory to what's been happening, you know, and to take people out of victim consciousness. And when the lessons are understood and or for whatever reason, healing can be given, it will be done. This is not always done because it's not always in the best interest to the client's path at that moment. Or it might be like I've had people come in with like pages and pages of questions, and they were all about, you know, when is the new earth, when planet Lyra and Vega, and like expanded stuff, you know, and through the
not
interview,
nothing about them personally.
Exactly. And through the interview, you can get the feeling already that, oh, you know, this is probably not going to, they're probably not going to get those answers because they don't even have access to their emotions, for instance. You know, you ask them questions and you kind of get an image of who they are in their life. And then, yeah, and oftentimes, well, not often, but sometimes in their session, the higher self says, rubbish, you know, we're going to work on self-love. They don't need all that bullshit. This is not for them. Like, let's pull up their inner child. We're going to work on that first, you know, do that. So going back to the healing, like I think healing always happens. This is good for beginning practitioners to know, because I, in the beginning as well, thought, well, I suck at this, you know, like people come in and they don't go under, you know, they don't zonk out completely and then they walk off, and not always do they get the healing. You know, healing always happens. And it is this connection with the higher self that happens over this expanded period of time that people, we did a practice session, me and Lily yesterday. So I experienced a session myself now for the first time since a long time. I couldn't believe how wonderfully, like, it was very it felt like me at the same time, but also like, wow, the stuff that coming in, like, where does that come from? You know,
like such an expanded you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It knows so much. It knows everything. Yes.
So, and it always I think it always heals what is meant to heal, whether it is sometimes even in the interview, that it was all about the interview, to have somebody tell their story, or to, or in a session maybe, to get an awareness of the spaces where they have been not loving themselves, or that it's not about finding out when the new earth is starting to happen, but it's about creating joy and healing or space in their life for themselves right now. So,
yeah,
I really think that healing always happens. Will it always happen according to conditions and the narrow-mindedness of our conscious mind? No, that doesn't. It doesn't work that way always. Yeah.
No, and I'm glad.
What I love about this is I just had this conversation this morning. So
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, so it must be something that's out there that needs to be talked about, and so this is wonderful. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut.
No problem. I was just saying, because that was a message that I got. Like, oh, I'm trying to think when it was. It was earlier on, because it was when I was working with mom, and people would keep asking that in class, something about the teaching, about the healing, and they came through and they're like, healing always happens. You know? Mm-hmm. It may not look like what you expect it to look like, you know, or it's over here and it's got to wait for you to get to it. You know, it always happens though.
And sometimes it happens on the more not so tangible planes of our being, more subtle. Yeah. And it, you know, once we figure out that there's something wrong with our life, or we think there's something wrong, we want to find the magic button or the switch to make it all okay.
Right.
This is not how it happened. You know, our life is a journey. So when you go onto a healing path, you start asking for more for yourself. Then, you know, it's not going to be over with just one session of this or of that. You know, you're still going to have your life where you're going to learn more and more and more. You're going to have the experiences that will initiate this for you. So yes, healing always happens, but your life continues and you will have more healing experiences on top of that.
Absolutely. Oh, this is great. Before I lose track of this or anything, how can people find you, Jeroen? Let's just make sure they can find you if they want to.
Oh, thank you. So I can be best found through Instagram. It has all my information. So my Instagram handle is my first name, which is a little tricky because I'm from the Netherlands, but it's spelled Jeroen. And then my affirmation is love. So Jeroen is love on Instagram, but also my website, which is my first name followed by QHHT, JeroenQHHT.com.
Perfect.
That's where you can find me.
It's simple.
You can also go to that qhhtofficial.com, go to practitioners and find him there if you lost track of what he just said. So
you go to the level 3 practitioners, they're all on one page. Mm-hmm. You'll find him there.
And if you're not in LA, you can find somebody local to you. You know, there's so many practitioners now that are being trained that you might be able to find somebody that's closer to you as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Tracy, they say that you have something to ask.
I do.
Yes.
Okay. I love getting put on the spot. So what am I asking?
Usually she does it to me. So.
Yeah, I do. Stay back. Okay, so who am I asking this divine question?
Of your room.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see. Let's see what comes in for that. Are you nervous? Because I am. I don't know what comes in for these things. Okay. How do people open their hearts to receive this healing?
There needs to be willingness, I think, to do so. How do people open their hearts? You know, unfortunately, it usually happens through gnarly experiences, spiritual awakenings that allow people to start feeling their heart, whether it's fracturedness or it's brokenness.
That's such a good point, because that's the whole thing. If you're asking, how do I open my heart? That means you're not in touch with your heart. That, and then, like you said, and many times the best way to feel what the heart feels is usually heartbreak. It's something that really hits it.
To bring your attention to it, yes. But it's probably not the only way. No. You can, if there's just willingness, if there's awareness that this can be done, that you open your heart. I mean, yeah, you can probably ask your higher self in your QHAC session, like, this happens quite a bit where, you know, we're talking to an angel or the higher self comes in. We're going to clear the heart and open it, you know, wash away all the debris that's been accumulating there. So those that, are the...
Yeah, that brings up, you were talking about that earlier, about clearing, going in, doing inner child work and all of that. And that's something I've noticed too, is if you go in with that first, and, you know, rather it's through the interview or through a portion of the higher self in the conversation, get in there and clear out some of that residue of those old wounds, then the amount of expansion that can happen after that with questions and the answers is phenomenal. So the willingness to go to that heart space and be really honest, raw and honest, and that can be scary. So it's good to have that practitioner that you trust and build that.
I'm so excited you mentioned this, because I've noticed this, like, when you know that when this happens, that first the higher self might access this self-love, this inner child healing, and then there's expansion. They might like go travel the galaxy or something. But yeah, that for sure happens first. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that just gives me chills.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gotta clean up this stuff first, and then you can go explore.
And then it just clears that. Well, yes. You know, if you think about it, it's getting rid of their fear-based energies, the pain and the sorrows and burdens, troubles. Mm-hmm. You clear that out, and then all of a sudden now they're just in this high vibration, and that just opens them up to anything.
Beautiful.
These beautiful energies that will come in, and it changes the experience. So, yeah.
Beautifully said. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that good enough, Julia? Are you wanting to ask about
that? That's wonderful. Yeah. No, I just, they were just like, Tracy has a question. I'm like, okay.
I think Julia has a story to tell.
Only in that, like what you're talking about there, as far as the, I see that so many times. It's like they're wanting to do all this big stuff. But again, when you were saying that, like they want to do, you know, they're having all these questions that are outside of themselves. See, it's because they don't want to look inside. All that big stuff, or it's very cerebral stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we got to get in here. We got to take care of this. And then we can look at these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had never put it together like that. It was always, it's like, this is what's important now, but you're right. That is the way it goes. They'll take care of this. And then it will go out there. Now they can do whatever from there.
Yeah.
So don't be, see, that feeling is I can feel people out there. I think they've had that experience and they're disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? You had the greatest gift because you were shown yourself and you were shown to work with yourself. And that's huge, because now that you are doing that, now you can do whatever. You can explore whatever.
And I'm going to share something else that just recently happened. I had a couple that came in and they both had a session. Mm-hmm. And the session was a couple of days apart. So, you know, the wife came in, had her session. I said, now you cannot tell him anything about your session. Just don't tell him a word about it so that it doesn't affect his session.
Yeah.
And so then he came in and had his session. And again, two phenomenal sessions, completely different. And I think that's because I requested her not to share hers. So I don't know if you guys have had an experience like that, but then it was kind of fun to bring them both together and say, okay, now you guys can share your sessions. And they were so different, but yet both of them had got such expansive answers and healing and work in such a neat and unique way to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one didn't go in going, okay, well, this happened in my wife's session, so I'm looking for this in my session. And I think that's a big deal too. When you come into a session, be open, have your very own experience. Don't compare it to anybody else. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of sessions on the internet. Please just open your mind to your own experience. So
absolutely no expectations.
Yeah, it makes sense, because the sessions that I put on the internet, of course, they're the more expansive ones and they have information that is very interesting for a larger audience. That is not all the sessions that we do. You know, there's plenty of digging potatoes, as your mom called it, sessions, or just very personal, sort of more wacky ones or kind of random scenes, or like my session yesterday, you know, it was some weird energy place. And then there was what looked like a past life. And then there was like an energy realm kind of experience. You know, it's like a mixed bag of everything. But so the magic really happens when you trust your own process, and your practitioner will help you do that. So instead of, you know, when you're in expectations, you're placing conditions over the experience, and you're not allowing for your higher self, or you're not really present to listen to what it has to tell you. You know, you're looking for something else. You say, oh, no, that can't be good enough. I need you to make it look like I'm on a spaceship, or I want life as an Atlantean priestess, or else it's not going to be good enough. You know, you're missing out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know where you just took me. I was supposed to be in Lemuria.
Oh, yes. No, Atlantis.
I was part of the pyramids or whatever, you know, and they want that grandeur, and it's there. It's just, let's look at this one over here first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The thing is, you know, you might want that grandeur, and maybe you did, like you said, maybe you did have something there, but that may not be what's relevant to this time right now.
Exactly.
And
that's,
you are taken to the most relevant time and place that has anything to do with what's going on in your life right now.
Yeah.
It may be just a very, very simple life. And that's where, like, we as practitioners, sometimes we don't know. We don't understand why they're being shown, you know, why it's being shown this or anything, but it makes total sense to the client. They're like, oh, I get it. That one word. Sometimes it's one word that helps everything fall into place.
Yeah, for me, like yesterday, the very first scene didn't make any sense. It was not an experience that we could relate to from the human perspective. And I didn't know why I was there until my practitioner asked me, you know, my higher self, like, what was that about? Poop, it rolled right out. It made total sense. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
So trust it.
Trust it. Huh? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That big T word. Trust.
The big T word, yes.
I like that. Okay. Well, Jeroen, what else? I feel like there's something else. I want like a final word, a final message, a final experience, a final something that you would love to share with everyone. Because you have been just spewing just wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom and hope and love and just gorgeous things.
Oh, thank you. Something else to share. I mean, my message really is joy in self-expression and embracing who you are, and to start trusting yourself, to wean yourself off of trying to find your good enoughness and your worthiness in external decrees or standards or norms, and to really start embracing and loving yourself, because that is your life purpose. The quickest way into your life purpose is to find joy here and now. You know, that is 5D. 5D is not waiting for the train to pull up or the spaceship, you know, on March 20th or whenever, you know, we're hearing it's going to happen. So to start making your life joyful in the here and now, that's my message and what's coming in as a backstory to all of the work that we do, I think.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's exactly like you said, that's the backstory. I mean, and that's where we're at now, where we have a better understanding of what the whole thing is. I mean, it's better. We definitely don't have it figured out yet, but it's a much better understanding, you know, all the doing to now it's like, oh, maybe it's just about being and loving about being and then do what you love to be.
Yes. And listening to your feelings about it, you know, I think our feelings, you know, in the sort of the ego or the mind-based cycle that our existence has been in for maybe millennia right now, our feeling senses or our feeling apparatus has been the stepchild of our experience. It's been all about thinking and reasoning. And now I think we're going back. I think this is what they call it the return of the feminine is all about, to start feeling more and to listen to our feelings as accurate signals from our emotional guidance system about what is right and what is not right in our perceptual field, and what do we need to change as a result of, based on our feelings, instead of, you know, the thinking where we lose contact with ourselves and we're in our heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well
said. Very good. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Thank you so much, Jeroen.
Thank you too. It was so lovely connecting with both of you. Yeah. I love the energy.
Thank you so much for being here.
Always a good energy.
Tracy, always wonderful. Like I said, Tracy's kind of like the man behind the curtains, you know, and she's back there doing all her wizardy things and making sure that we get out there and throws in questions when she can. She's very multitask oriented. So,
yeah. And watching the chat, which, by the way, this is my job. Jeroen, make sure you get to BBS Radio and look at the chat in there and get over to the Dolores Cannon, official Dolores Cannon page. I posted it in there as well as we went live, and you got lots of comments in there to feel through. And
there may be some in QHHT because Summer was going to post it over there as well. So
awesome. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. You got some work ahead of you now. Now you got to go play with the questions and comments and
okay.
where everybody was from. Everybody was posting where they were from. So
oh,
that
cool.
was
wonderful. Thank you everyone for being here. This is wonderful and for joining us.
Thanks for listening. And thank you both for the work that you do in this world.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeroen. Okay. Bye everybody.
Bye.